Feeney.
I'm Clancy.
And I'm Damien.
Now you might be asking, what do two Aussies and a Pom have in common?
Quite a lot, actually.
For starters, Her Majesty has her face on all our currencies.
Even the coins.
There's a great Union Jack floating around some flags as well.
And we speak the same language, sort of.
Somehow.
Allegedly.
And we love winding each other up.
What are we doing here then?
Winding you up. But anyway, on this show, we discuss current Australian politics.
We take a look at past events.
While on a mission to ensure the Governor General stays in their job.
What? I didn't sign up for this. What?
It's in the show's name, Phoebe. Welcome to Let's Save the Governor General.
No, I don't want to. Kick him out.
What about her?
Or her. No, let's just not have a Governor General. Let's have a republic.
With who is president?
Not ScoMo.
President ScoMo. President ScoMo.
No, President Julia Gillard.
President Craig Kelly. Good evening. It's good Sunday morning. Night. You know what Sunday night is, right?
It's Sunday morning.
Oh, bollocks. Bollocks to that. No, I'm officially...
Well, let's save the Governor General Day.
Every Sunday. Yes.
Either way, it's Sunday somewhere. It's Sunday here and Sunday there.
Clancy, every day is Let's Save the Governor General Day.
Unless you're a Republican. Unless you're a Republican like me, and then you don't really give a stuff about the Governor General.
Tell the Governor General to get stuffed. But, you see, I would have thought that when King Charles came in, everyone would have gone, look, it's Republic time. But no, everyone's gone, look, we like this current arrangement, so we'll just keep it going. We seem to like, you know, Willie and Kate and the kids.
Well, so, it does get a bit strange when, you know, you can't sell enough newspapers in America with it. Charlie and Wills and Katie and Hazard and, you know.
Hazard, that guy.
The black sheep of the family.
Yeah. We're actually doing the time zone shuffle today, guys.
Time zone shuffle, yes.
Yes, we are in three different time zones.
We're all in three different time zones.
As you've decided to take off to the lovely land of the Barossa, I hear.
I have, yes. I'm in wine country.
So here's a question for you. Have you done daylight saving time yet in Australia? For those places that do observe it. So you've moved forwards.
We move forward back in October. So in 2 weeks' time, it will end and we will go back to normal time.
Normal time. I like that.
Normal time.
So you haven't moved yet. Whereas this strange and wonderful country has decided that it's going to move its clocks early in March. Not like the rest of the world that does it at the end of March. Or in some cases, April.
You've moved from one weird country to another, Phoebs, but...
We have.
As I say, weird states in weird countries. Tasmania had their election yesterday. And guess who won?
Nobody.
It's certainly feeling like nobody really won. I think even though technically the Liberal Party won, I think they actually lost what they were hoping to gain, which was majority. And they've shot themselves in the foot, really, because now they've elected a bunch of independents and Greens who are going to fight them every step of the way.
I can tell you who hasn't won, but I will tell you who thinks they've won. Old mate Jeremy Rockliffe.
Wow. What a day. A day of milestones. And on that note, happy birthday to my beautiful mum, Jerry. Well done. And today also looks like a fourth consecutive win for the Liberal Party.
You did not say a fourth consecutive Liberal government.
But it is fair to say that they are ahead at the moment.
But having said that, they've also lost seats.
It's going to get really complicated because... provisional results as they currently stand have projections of 13 seats to the Liberals, 10 seats to Labour, 4 seats to the Greens, and Jackie Lambie getting 2.
Phoebe, as of 10 p.m. Saturday, the Liberal Party is projected to take 15 seats, Labour 10, Green 5, Jackie Lambie Network 4, and 1 independent.
Yeah. That was just as of time of recording the actual declared seats that we've got.
Old mate Eric Abetz has
decided he's going to win a quota all by himself.
That's it. He's decided to be in the Tasmanian state parliament. Well, I told you that we actually saw Eric at the Taste of the Huon the other weekend. Said good day, raised a beer at him.
I told him under your breath to fuck off.
No, we were polite towards him because, you know, I thought at some point I might want to go and have a chat to him and interview him for, let's say, the Governor General.
This is very true.
I don't like, you know, upsetting people before that.
You wait till they're on and then you...
Yeah, then I tear shreds off them. I also happened to see Carl Krusianitsky, Dr. Carl Krusianitsky, Nick and Annabelle Crabb at Sydney Airport.
Okay.
And said hello to them and Annabelle said hello back.
Oh. Did you invite her into your kitchen?
Well, you know, I thought, well, that'd be nice if she wanted to come on and I could talk to her about the Tasmanian election. She might have a few things to share. She might want to interview Eric Abetz.
Yeah, we may. So Eric Abetz is in the Franklin electorate, and Franklin is sort of like the outer Hobart kind of area, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's basically down towards the Huon, which is why he was at the Huon show.
Okay, all right. So you are in Lyons, I believe, if I'm not, which is like pretty much Hobart.
Yeah. So where Adrian works, down that way.
Down that way, yeah. And then, yeah, so Eric Abetz, according to the...
Adrian is in that electorate. He lives in that electorate. It's a weird one. It crosses the river.
So according to the ABC, in the electorate of Franklin, so it looks like the Greens, Labor, old mate Eric, and an independent, David O'Byrne.
But well, yeah. David O'Byrne's an interesting one because David O'Byrne actually was a Labor Party stalwart for many years and was, in fact, a leader of the Labor Party.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he get deselected or something?
He was asked to leave because shortly after he was selected to become the leader, it came to light that there was some inappropriate text messages that had been sent quite a number of years ago. Yes, it was that old.
Of course. It's like the current thing in British politics is they were inappropriately bullying somebody.
Mm. Is there an appropriate way to bully somebody?
Well, that does raise that question. I'm not trying to, you know, poo-poo things like, you know, inappropriate text messages or shitty tweets or, you know, bullying or workplace harassment. But it does seem to be that the new way to get rid of anybody you dislike is go, look, this guy just bullied me. This guy sent some nasty text messages 30 years ago to me.
Yeah, well, it was all a little bit sus, I got to say.
Okay.
So he did exist in the party for some time, and then when they called the election, he decided to cut his losses and quit the Labor Party altogether and ran as an independent, which, unsurprisingly, he actually has a lot of support in the area.
Okay.
He's actually a very effective member.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard lots of sort of personal anecdotes about him doing some pretty good things. So I'm not really surprised that the Labor Party's favour and he got elected as an independent.
Interesting, interesting. What's the difference between the Jackie Lambie network and the local network?
Oh, they're completely different. So the local network... are an interesting bunch. They actually had their launch party one night when I was doing quiz at Deep South. Yeah, it was just before the federal election, I think. They have basically they're sort of quasi liberal.
Are they essentially teals?
Yeah, essentially teals.
Okay.
Essentially.
Right. Now, are they a lighter shade of teal or a darker shade of teal?
Well, they're definitely green tinted teals. They're more green tinted liberals.
Which makes them teals.
So does that? Yeah.
Makes them aqua.
Yes. And then you start singing about Barbie Girl.
Mm. Oh, actually, did you hear about this is completely off topic, but you said Barbie Girl. Aqua, the band who performed Barbie Girl, they did a gig in WA where the lead singer went off after the first song and came back in her pajamas. And the rumor is that she had a panic attack after the first song. Interesting. Look, speaking of things not quite going so right, let's head over to the United States, where the Republican presidential nominee elect
and four-time indicted individual,
twice impeached, four times indicted,
you know, four times indicted, and twice convicted in civil court,
three times bankrupt. Is there anything else you want to say about him?
And about to float another company on the stock exchange.
Four times married? I think he's three or four times married.
Three times married.
Okay, well.
And at least one of them is dead.
He's in for a penny, in for a pound. That's what you've got to say about
him. Let's put it this way. He has lived life to the fullest.
And he has indeed. He had a bit of a spray at our mate Kevin Rudd, our ambassador Kevin Rudd.
Who speaks two more languages than he does. Including English.
Yes. Trump described Rudd as a little bit nasty in an interview with Nigel Farage. Oh, there's a guy you want to be...
There's a sentence you want to hear. There's an endorsement of you if you ever want it. You're a bit nasty. In an interview from the 45th President of the United States to the former leader of the Brexit Party.
If he's at all hostile, he will not be there long.
Hostility's his bread and butter.
Yeah, he plays very well off of hostility.
Are these nuclear hostilities, though?
My take on it is that Trump is full of bluster. He will disparage Putin and Kim Jong-un and whoever he wants, and then 2 weeks later he'll go...
They're great guys. They're his best friends.
Yeah, exactly. So,
he's more diesel-powered than nuclear.
I don't know. He's more steam-powered.
He's more hot air-powered.
Steam powered. Every now and then he condenses into something even more tragic.
I suppose the question is it right for a presumed incoming president to attack our ambassador before he's even had a chance to warm the seat up?
When has Trump ever been appropriate? That's sort of his modus operandi, isn't it? Being inappropriate.
But do you think that what he did was appropriate or not?
Of course not.
Don't be ridiculous. It's decorum out the window. There's ways of saying these things and there's ways of going about these things. And the decorum that he has shown is about as genuine as a Trump casino chip.
I'm sure the Trump casino chip is as valid as the Trump casino. That's about
Trump casino chip used to pay for an abortion in Alabama.
I do find it interesting... I do find it interesting, though, that this has all come about at the same time that there's a potential plea deal for Julian Assange.
Can we send Julian Assange the bill for the policing and other expenses incurred by the United Kingdom whilst he decided to take the piss out of democracy in the UK and rip apart any semblance of normality in central London for the few years and then deport him back to whence he came, please?
You're not bitter about it at all, are you, Phoebes?
Fucking sex pest.
Yeah, true. And this is the funny thing is that, you know, he is alleged to have sexually assaulted two women, and you know, but because he fucked over George Bush's military campaign, he is a hero.
Yeah, I couldn't give a toss what kind of journalist he claims to be. The man is an accused sex pest who went to the UK, fucked around with the UK legal system, mm-hmm. took the piss out of the UK security services, cost the British taxpayer nearly £10 million, and is still currently living at the pleasure of the British taxpayer in a fully furnished, fully comprehensive, high security hotel.
I didn't know Belmarsh was a hotel.
High security hotel.
Oh, well, there you go.
In case you hadn't worked it out, I may not be a fan of this Australian national.
It's a drama. I just find the hypocrisy, and I think like I kind of touched on it a little bit at our last episode, where the motives rather than the actual actions, and if you can find a way to excuse bad behaviour, then... Yes.
I don't mean to sound as if I'm going to play the race card or the sex card here, but I'm going to... White man gets away with it because he's white man and does other things that other white men think is acceptable and fucks over unliked white man. Julian Assange has run around Sweden, run around the UK, taken the piss out of the legal system, caused a man to lose his surety against him, been living inside the Ecuadorian embassy for God knows how long because that's the greatest thing that you do. That's the greatest thing that you do because you go and find some South American country with a questionable human rights record who doesn't really like journalists so that you, as a journalist who, as a supposed journalist who's supposedly standing up for human rights, can go and avoid the legal system so that you can stick two fingers up at the democratic way of doing things because you yourself want to have the clock run out on the ability for the government of Sweden to investigate and prosecute you for being a sex pest.
I do find the argument that, so apparently he wanted to avoid going back to Sweden because Sweden had an extradition treaty with America.
So but, does yes. Britain.
Exactly. This is
this is why it is hypocritical crap. The guy was trying to run the clock out so the statute of limitation came into effect so that he could not be investigated or prosecuted for being a sex pest. Anybody who excuses the actions of this man as a journalist trying to avoid the big bad USA is missing the elephant staring them in the face. He was wanted for being a sex pest, which had a statute of limitations on it that expired whilst he was living in an embassy.
Tell us how you really feel, babes.
While he's been in the UK too, he's managed to get married and have two children.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
While he's supposedly been incarcerated.
While he's supposedly been inhumanely treated by the dictatorial government of the United Kingdom, he has been denied his basic human rights and got married and had kids.
Well, we will see how diplomatic relations play out between America and the US, but I think Donald Trump will win the next. I think he will be the next Republican Party nominee. I think he will win the
he
next
is
election.
The next Republican nominee. I don't think he'll win the election though.
Okay, I disagree.
He may do better in the popular vote, but he won't win certain states. Yeah. So, for example, he will struggle to win the state of Michigan, and the state of Michigan and its 17 electoral college votes may not be going in the Trump column.
Speaking of things happening to British people or by British people, yes. Phoebe, you wanted to...
It was all over the British news. So a teenager was guilty of murdering a British expat who was found dead in her front garden on Boxing Day 18 months ago. And it was a fairly horrendous case. Yeah, he tried to make a whole host of claims about what happened and eventually pled guilty. There's another teenager waiting to enter a plea of some description, and that's before the Supreme Court in Brisbane.
So just so to clarify is that Boxing Day 2022, two teenagers broke into a house. That house had an Australian husband and a British expatriate wife, and the wife had sustained fatal injuries. And that's why it's made news both here in Australia, but also in Britain as well. And that kind of, I will briefly touch on youth crime because youth crime has been a bit of a hot topic in Melbourne as well recently, in that there has been a spate of, you know, bashings and home invasions and stuff like that, and law and order has again become a big issue, in particular with regards to youth crime.
It's one of these things where it's highlighted and it's shown as an issue that then gets put on the back burner because something like this happens, and then it comes to the forefront, and then it goes back on the back burner when this goes away again. And I think it really does show to a systemic problem when there is systemic societal issues in some areas of Australia. So parts of rural Queensland, which is near where this happened, does have higher youth crime rates.
Yep.
And as we've mentioned previously, we have had higher rates of substance abuse amongst Aboriginal communities, which is another systemic societal issue, which we do need as a society to go, how do we tackle both of these issues and the other issues that are just quietly put to one side because they're not very nice to think about?
No. Well, look, speaking of substance abuse issues, AFP Commander Danielle Woodward charged with drink driving after crashing car into tree. So this silly duck got a 0.148 blood alcohol concentration.
That is high.
Yeah, that is... You've got to be slamming the terps to, you know, really get to.
Clancy, have you been that high before really on a blood alcohol reading?
No, I've never had a positive blood alcohol reading when I've been driving ever.
Okay. Oh, well,
I'm sure I've been that high, but just haven't had one.
You decided not to get behind the wheel. You gave someone else your keys and was like, no, I don't want to crash into that tree.
No, that's right. I tend to avoid getting behind the wheel when I'm been drinking. For very good reasons.
Very good. That is the best policy to have. Police said she was taken into custody and breath tested at Canberra City Station, where she returned a blood alcohol reading of 0.148. The level was only...
What is the legal limit in the ACT?
0.05.
That's nationwide. It used to be 0.08 in some states, but that got uniform. Yeah.
So it's 0.05 if you have a full unrestricted license. If you're a P plate driver or an L plate driver, it's zero.
It's 0.00.
Yes. Police said her face was flushed and she had sleepy, watery eyes.
So she's twice the legal limit.
No, she's like almost, she's three times the legal.
No, so she's twice over the legal limit. Right. So the legal limit plus that again.
She was what I think what we might refer to as doing a Barnaby.
Doing a Barnaby. Yeah.
Like, for some reason...
Doing a Barney.
For some reason, just Canberra and politicians or, you know, senior public servants on the booze, you know, doing...
There's a picture of her here. I think she's weighed down by all those medals. And I think it's just getting a bit too much for her.
Well, that's a... Look, speaking of things getting a little bit too much, it also came out in the last couple of weeks that there is... Who was it? Assistant Treasurer Stephen Jones spent up to $43,000 on taxpayer-subsidised Comcar trips over a nine-month period.
Seriously? I mean, like, seriously?
$43,000, that is... You've really got to...
Really got to be going somewhere. You've really got to be going some.
And he's only the Assistant Treasurer as well. You know, he's not, like, the Treasurer. He's the Assistant.
That's almost $5,000 a month.
Yeah, that's five... I know petrol's expensive, but here we go. Racked up more... let's just finish this. $11,000 in taxpayer-subsidized car trips, including on petrol allowance claims between April and December, including a $1,000 car trip for the two-and-a-half-hour journey from his New South Wales home to Parliament House in Canberra. That's September. $1,000!
What's he filling up with? Is he filling up with premium?
I think is he filling up with gold? That's a...
I mean, what is he? What's he got? Has he got the Ferrari? Is he driving the Ferrari that won at Albert Park today?
Petrol is pretty expensive, but that's ridiculous.
Or is it leaking like that Red Bull that blew up at Albert Park today?
Our mate Jackie Lambie has actually called for an audit of the Labour leaders over...
No shit! I'd call for an audit as well!
Hey, that's
I think most sensible people would call for an audit and go, excuse me, how can you spend $5,000 a month on motoring allowances?
How do you get $1,000 on a one-way car trip for, like, if you hired a coach? That's more expensive than a plane. You know, if you took a...
So that's $400 an hour. $400 an hour, that car journey.
You could actually take a plane trip every single day for much money.
You could. It would have been cheaper to just, you know, buy the car outright.
Crazy.
Just buy the second-hand car outright. Just buy it outright.
But look, our mate Barnaby does have something to say. To be frank, I used to drive my car from here in northern New South Wales to Canberra. I would stop over in Sydney, and that was much cheaper than flying. Look, it's something for Stephen to explain. It would seem that there is a strong argument as to why he doesn't turn his own car around the other way, which is taxpayer subsidised, and just drive it to Canberra.
I'm wondering if it's going to come out that he's actually lost his licence, or he doesn't.
Or he's got a secret liaison that we don't know about.
Which reminds me, who was it? Peter Slipper. That was a...
That's right.
Yes, good old Speaker Slipper, who nearly brought down the Gillard government.
God, that's something I think we should discuss it later.
Well, Peter Slipper.
Yeah, the whole tawdry episode. Look,
at least he didn't take a helicopter.
The Bronwyn Bishop scandal and the Peter Slipper scandal really made the speakership of the House of Representatives really great.
And it could be argued that Bronwyn's helicopter brought down Tony Abbott as well.
Well, true.
But look, speaking of people behaving badly, do either of you know anyone who was in the Freemasons?
I used to.
I know someone who told the Freemasons where they could go and shove themselves when they tried to ask him to join. That would be my father. So I do know friends of my father who are Freemasons, and they asked my father to join. And my father turned around and said, "You can go fuck yourselves."
I used to be friends with some people who were in the Freemasons. There is
okay.
Now, are these male Freemasons or are these women Freemasons? Because I know a woman Freemason as well.
Because they're a very masculine organization.
A guy I know actually bought a former lodge that became defunct, I guess. So there's a few around that have been repurposed for other things, but retain the iconic sigil, yes, the compass. And
something about the Masons that always makes me laugh is they have rules that they try to enforce on people who aren't members.
I thought they enforce rules on people who are members.
Mm.
They have a rule that only a Mason can wear a Mason's ring.
Oh, okay.
And Mason's regalia can only be worn by Masons.
Ooh, by Masons.
And how do you enforce that on people who don't follow your rules?
You're not allowed to wear that ring. Take it off now.
Take off the regalia. You can't do that. Who the fuck are you? I'm a Mason.
Otherwise, our mysterious overlord will be unhappy with you. I don't.
What's it's like telling non-Christians to remove crosses, you know, or take off that hijab. You're not really Muslim.
They are a dying breed, though. This is the thing. Like, yeah, for the last few decades, yeah, they've sold up properties and all that kind of stuff. So the reason they've come across my desk is that, particularly in Victoria, their numbers have dwindled. They have had to sell properties. And the biggest dispute is about the Melbourne headquarters. So they used to have a massive place in Melbourne, which was their headquarters. What they did was they sold that to developers on the promise that they would build a new, like they had like an apartment with shops and that kind of stuff. They build the Freemasons a new headquarters. There was also apartments in that complex, and that Freemasons would get like mates rates on the apartments.
Oh, like peppercorn rents and stuff.
Yeah, something like that. Yes. However, only the closer you were to the leadership, the better deal you got on an apartment.
Oh.
Some people didn't like that, and so there is actually a rift within the Freemasons Victoria about who actually owns properties as well, because they tried to do an insurance dodgy where like they incorporated a body that wasn't them, and yeah, all this kind of weird stuff. But yes, it's asset rich, membership poor. Minster says they've turned from a charity provider to a property developer.
Are they as rich as a charity?
I think they actually are. Yes.
Because that's the kind of thing that always gets my brain going. You're doing all these charitable things, but are you actually a charity?
Well,
it's like IKEA. It's a furniture company that's actually a registered charity in Sweden.
Oh well, there you go.
Which to avoid Swedish taxes. So they're apparently a charity along the lines of, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like for the advancement of innovative furniture design and ergonomic lifestyles or something. Would you donate to the charity of IKEA, Clancy?
No, bugger that.
I've certainly made use of the hot dog and ice creams that they sell at IKEA. I'll say that much.
Not the meatballs.
No, I'm not really a meatballs kind of guy. I just like the cheap and dirty hot dogs for $1.50 with the drink.
Now, what's better, that or a democracy sausage?
Given that I always vote pre-polling day, I haven't had a democracy sausage for quite a...
Oh, so you're a pre-poll voter. A bit like my wife, she votes pre-poll.
She's a smart lass.
You're a premature elector.
Yes, I'm a premature electorator. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. You want the results early, don't you?
Indeed. Speaking of religious people in doing silly shenanigans, the Plymouth Brethren Christian Church, who you may know as the Exclusive Brethren, they're getting their nuts roasted by the ATO.
Woo-hoo, it's that time.
I did know. I knew somebody who grew up a Plymouth Brethren.
Okay.
And then got thrown out when turned out that she was a lesbian. And an atheist. And her parents don't talk to her anymore.
That sounds like a cult to me.
It most certainly does. It most certainly does.
Yes. So the exclusive, the ATO conducted an extraordinary unannounced raid this week on the global headquarters of businesses run by the conservative Christian sect, the Exclusive Brethren, searching for evidence of misuse of funds by high net worth individuals in the church.
Is that God himself? Is God himself a high net worth individual?
Well, you have to exist to be a high net individual, you know.
I don't know. I think that's called immaterial wealth.
You probably exist on paper.
Sorry?
It's immaterial wealth.
It's treasure stored in heaven.
Here's what I would say, though, is that he does exist on paper.
That's the only place.
It's one of those entities that exists on paper only, the paper-only entity. Yeah.
But one thing I did want to highlight with this was the way that the Exclusive Brethren have actually created, like, a network of... Oh, here we go.
Promoted to housewife.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Clancy, have you ever... What would you think if you got... You'd be promoted to housewife?
That's genuine, isn't it?
Promoted to housewife. At least it's recognising that home duties are work. I hope she's getting paid appropriately for it.
Also recognising its openness with its misogyny.
If she's been promoted to housewife, can she negotiate an award wage?
Time off? Childcare benefits?
Superannuation?
Does she get a title bump? Does she get to, you know, have a say in, you know, future contract negotiations? Is she unionised?
That's actually a good question, Phoebe. What would you call the female members of the Brethren? The sistren?
The slaves.
So if they corporatise and have a union, they could be called the sisters in arms or something like that. I don't know.
It is a sistren. Brethren and sistren.
Is that the correct term?
It is.
But what I wanted to point out was on the screen here, the Brethren have actually set up like numerous businesses in order to, vertically integrate their lifestyle in their ecosystem. Businesses and tax-free entities believed to be the subject of tax office investigation. So the businesses that maintain our way of life, UBT Household, Orbit, Rapid Relief Team, Campus & Co.
Hang on, stop you on Campus & Co for a second. Yes. That logo looks like it's been nicked from a British estate agent's. Literally.
They are the Plymouth Brethren, so yeah, maybe they just, yeah.
That stylized ampersand, font, that colour and everything is identical to a British estate agency. It reminds me of...
Well, maybe it's owned by the same people.
I would highly doubt that Howard and Co. and Campus and Co. are exactly the same.
Protect and educate our young, One School Global. Improve profits of community businesses, UBT and UBTA. Fund education welfare needs, NAF. Co-Shield Global.
It is a bit NAF, isn't it?
Vision Foundation, Tiremax.
Tiremax?
And Elevate Circumstances, that seems creepy. HR 100, Vision Welfare. Yeah, it's...
Another UBT.
Yep. In a previous job I had, four businesses that were our clients were owned by brothers. And these four brothers were all like mid-level / senior-level people within the Plymouth Brethren. But I managed to remote into one of their computers once to do some maintenance, and one of them had an email open from the PBCC in church, like some sort of like Bible study or something. And it's like, oh, okay, they're part of the Brethren.
As you do,
yes. So that's my connection to the Plymouth Brethren Christian Church. But yeah. Interesting. We'll see how badly their nuts get roasted come the time.
Indeed.
Yes.
But yes, is there anything else we want to discuss on this relatively shortened episode of, let's say, the Governor General?
Well, I would like to talk about...
Massive berries?
Yes.
Okay, I'll get your berries out.
So yes, apparently the world's largest blueberry has made an appearance in Australia. Apparently.
It has, because it's on the screen right now.
Blueberry!
That's massive.
At 20 grams. One blueberry at 20 grams. and nearly 40 centimetres across, so 39.31 millimetres across.
It's a blueberry.
That's
that is incredible.
That is.
I think those antioxidants must be working.
They must be.
The Eterna variety was cultivated as part of Costa's Verico. That's the world record was previously 16.2 grams from Western Australia. It's okay. So they've that is like a window smashing berry.
Is it a non GMO blueberry?
Yeah, Phoebs, tell us if it's non-GMO.
I have no idea whether it's a GMO berry. I have no idea.
What is it like?
In all honesty.
Like, are GMO berries lesser berries than other berries?
No, I'm thinking in terms of, wouldn't it be the equivalent of doping in sports? You can't really win a record if it's a GMO berry. Do you know what I mean? Sort of cheating.
This is like great discussion topics, you know.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
I think I do. Ah, like, what else? What else?
It's like if someone went to the Brim Creek show and they had a doped up pumpkin, you know, it was a GMO pumpkin.
doping in fruit competitions.
Well, it could happen. I mean, they're pretty competitive, those farmers, you know. So
here's a question for you. Largest watermelon, is it, somebody with a hose at the side still filling it up?
Possibly. You know, it's like livestock, you know. Do you test the cow when it's three times bigger than all the others? I don't know.
Roids. I love these late night episodes.
Do you have a trans cow that's doped up? Where do you draw the line?
What are you talking about?
Trans cows.
Is that trans cow from Transvaal?
Well, you know, it's utterly ridiculous, I know, but we've got it.
Hold on. There you go. Well, let's go back to sensible topics. Today, the Formula One race in Melbourne was run and won. Who won it, Phoebs?
A man with no appendix, a Spaniard with no appendix, who's a junior, won. Carlos Sainz Jr. won the race. But that it is relevant. He missed the last race because he had appendicitis the day before the qualifying.
Oh, so he's had an appendectomy.
And Formula One is underway in Melbourne.
I saw this and I went, oh, how boring. And I sighed and I almost turned it off. I thought, no, give it a couple of laps. I'm quite glad I did give it a couple of laps because the least liked man in Formula One outside of the Netherlands and people paid by his team went kaput and we were all cheering. And in the words of the famous and great Martin Brundle, I've got nothing against Red Bull, but Formula One desperately needed him not to be anywhere near this race today, and we got exactly that.
Because this is interesting. You and I were briefly discussing yesterday, Phoebs, Max Verstappen, he is apparently the most toxic man in Formula One. Tell us more.
So he is an entitled, narcissistic prick.
Son of a bitch.
And after this, he was angry. After this, he was.
He was angry.
Even though he had won 20 of the last 22 races he'd won before this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all just a load of horrendousness. It's like, it's like, mate, welcome to the real world. His father is somebody who was accused of and had a restraining order placed against him by his mother. So his mother and father got divorced, and during it, the mother accused the father of knocking her about. His team principal is currently under investigation for being a sex pest, and the top executive said some nasty things about Mexicans.
Oh, there's Verstappen. He has a smoke, and he's... Look, there he's losing the race.
Yep. And one of the top Red Bull executives said, we all know why I'm paraphrasing here. I may have the wording slightly incorrect. We all know why Max's teammate isn't doing as well as his peers. It's because they're all lazy in Mexico.
Oh.
Ouch.
That's harsh.
And his teammate Mexican.
Hashtag awkward. But for the rest of the week, ladies, what are we doing pre-Easter?
Well, I'm going to be swanning around the Barossa Valley, eating some yummy food and drinking some yummy wine. And we were hoping to go up in a balloon, but unfortunately it was all booked.
Oh, bloody Adelaideans.
I got told that that was probably a good thing because evidently some poor fellow decided to jump out of a balloon over Melbourne. And
yes, that last week, yes.
Quite deliberately.
That does remind me of the episode of Rake where the hot air balloon flies off into the abyss and the main character is caught by the rope and ends up crashing into a building or something.
Yeah, it was pretty tragic. Anyway, so that's the plan up until then, and then we'll go to some posh restaurant in Adelaide if they own any.
There's a couple around.
Yes, I'm told. To have a nice dinner. And then, of course, we're going to be doing the National Bands competition.
Convention.
And that's going to be at the university, I believe. So I'm...
Is this the brass band?
Brass band, yep. Lots of ritual turtling. There's going to be a march. So that should be exciting.
That's pretty good.
I'm volunteering for that.
And the Feimster, what's the Feimster got on?
We're getting ready for a big family gathering at the end of the week, getting ready for some things that we've got going on next month, and I've got some more of my college course I need to get going on with. So, yeah, not that exciting, but lots.
Fair enough. Well, ladies...
What about you, Damien?
Oh, and how about you? Yeah, how about you?
I'll be working and counting down the days for a 4-day long weekend.
But if anybody here, you know, enjoys, you know, the taste of, you know, atheism, watch Talk Heathen, you'll find me.
Will we now?
You will. You most certainly will.
When is that on?
Well, it's on the same day as recording, so. By the time this goes out, you'll need to look in the archives.
Yes, the one week archives. But yes, Talk Heathen. Go check it out.
Yes.
But until next time, let's save the Governor General because two of the royal family have cancer.
They do. It's very sad.
Not good.
No.
The only reason we know about one of those cancers is because the media couldn't, you know, adhere to, you know, what privacy is.
Yeah.
They said, you won't hear anything from us until after Easter. So what did they go and do? They went and harassed her until she actually said something, which was, you know, fairly horrendous.
Well, look, if she didn't put out a doctored photo with all these basic editing mistakes, then yeah.
Mind you, it sounds like she was waiting for tests and things to come back as well. So it sounds like I think she's had what I had. I think she had a hysterectomy.
Well.
So no more little royal babies from her.
Three's enough. Trust us, three is enough.
Oh, that's a bit extreme on screen. He's sideways.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe he got sick of the scenery, wanted to.
Yeah.
In history's page, let every stage advance Australia fair. In joyful strains, then let us sing, advance Australia.